Now, shall we pray? Our God, gracious Father, we bow that precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank thee that for guilty, fallen man, there's a wondrous story. It's old yet ever new, and it tells of none other than thy dear Son. He's the center, the theme, and the subject of the gospel tidings. And this world is a dark world and darkening every day, yet we thank thee for the light of the gospel. We thank thee for the one who is the light of the world. And we thank thee, Father, for the wondrous story of the cross. He took that journey from heaven. He left the splendors of heaven knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. The hymn writer could say, down from the glory the Savior came, down to the cross and the death of shame, gazing in wonder, I there exclaim that Jesus died for me. Oh, Father, we thank thee that we can look back to a moment when, as poor sinners, we came to the Savior. A moment when we realized our helplessness, our darkness, our vileness, and that we're facing an eternal night. We're facing that awful place called hell and the lake of fire. We thank thee, Father, that we found in him a resting place, and he has made us glad. We thank thee for the one who bore sin's awful burden. He, the perfect one in perfect love, offered himself as a perfect sacrifice at Calvary. And for poor sinners, there's perfect salvation and peace, perfect peace. The hymn says, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. We thank thee that because of Calvary, the precious blood that was shed, there's cleansing, there's redemption, there's a perfect pardon, pardon from sins of deepest dye, pardon bestowed through Jesus' blood, a pardon that brings the rebel nigh. And so we just praise you for the Savior. We praise you for Calvary and this love, which is more than tongue can tell, and just earnestly pray for the little meeting here this evening in Scotch Street. We pray, Father God, for a deep sense of thy presence. We need thee. And we pray earnestly for any other gathering not yet saved, that they would be gripped by eternal matters, gripped by the reality of their own precious soul and the shortness of time and the nearness of eternity. We pray that thy word would grip their hearts, that they would come this evening as they are without delay to the arms of the loving Savior. We pray that none would go away without Christ this evening. Bless this time, we cry. We need thee, Father. Help us in every word and every moment. We cry in our need for mercy and help, looking to thee and worshiping thee as we ask these things in that worthy, that precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'd like to make everybody most welcome to the meeting here this evening. And if you're here for the first time, I understand some are here for the first time, we make you extra welcome and we thank you for being with us here this evening. Now, I'd like to read a number of verses in Luke's Gospel and chapter 2, Luke's Gospel, and in chapter 2 and verse 46, Luke 2 and verse number 46, Luke 2, 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. That's all I wish to read. And I trust that God would add a blessing to the reading of his own most precious word. From these three verses, we'd like to just think about two words from each of these verses. From verse 46, we want to think of the two words, found him, found him. From verse 47, we want to think of the two words, heard him, heard him. And from verse 48, we want to think of the two words, saw him, saw him. Found him, heard him, saw him, found him, found Christ, heard Christ, and saw Christ. As I think of these little statements, these two word phrases, I can't help thinking of that hymn, "Hast thou seen him, heard him, known him? Is not thine a captured heart?" Hast thou seen him, heard him, known him? Is not thine a captured heart? And in this meeting this evening, there are those whose hearts are captured hearts. Their hearts have been captured to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts have been captured by that blessed one who suffered for them on the cross, that they wouldn't have to suffer in hell fire. And their hearts have been captured by love like no other love. The love we find at Calvary, love so amazing, so divine. And there are those here and their hearts have been conquered by that love. And their hearts have been won to that blessed man, the man Christ Jesus. Those of us whose hearts have been captured can say of the Savior, "That man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary." Each one in this gathering whose heart has been captured by Christ, won to him, they look back to a moment in time when they got saved. A moment when along the journey they met the Savior. We love to go back to it. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I shall never forget. Once when I wandered in darkness away till Jesus, the Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Fears dispelling. With joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. It's good to go back to a moment when we met him along the way, a moment when we got saved, a moment when we believed in him, we put our trust in him, we rested on him, and we're born again, born of God, and we got salvation. A moment when we found him along life's journey, a moment of salvation. I wonder, could I ask you, have you got salvation? Someone once said about salvation, God thought it. Christ at Calvary, he bought it. The Holy Spirit brought it. The devil fought it. But I've got it. I wonder, could I ask you today, have you got it? Oh, you may have many things in this life in terms of possessions and riches and education and all kinds of things, but this, if you haven't got salvation, you have nothing. Have you got it? Have you got salvation? Have you trusted Jesus and his cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? This is the big thing. Are you saved? You got salvation. Someone said about being saved that it's not just a big thing. And it's not just a great thing. Getting saved is everything. It's everything. And there are those of us here tonight, we're poor, hell-deserving sinners. We've got a moment of salvation, a moment when we're saved, a moment when we found Christ. We can say of him, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." What about it, dear one, this evening? You know, I would like to, for those in the gallery who are not so, I'd like to speak to you closely, personally, directly, yes, pointedly. And I'd like you to really stop and think about the seriousness of these things. I'd like you really to stop and think about that soul of yours that will live forever and forever and forever. I'd like you really to be awakened to your great danger. You see, since last Sunday to this evening, you're a week further down the road. And you're a week nearer to eternity. And it's a week less in life's journey to get saved in
And time's running out, and time's against you, and time is almost gone, and you're so close to eternity and so close to perishing, so close to being lost forever, and going down to that place, a place called hell. And I trust that tonight you would be awakened. You might get to a point this evening where you're saying, nothing else matters. I don't care anything else anymore. I don't care about this world and all its fads and its fashions and its trends and all its so-called excitement and all its attractions and allurements. I'm a sinner and I'm going down. I am a sinner burdened by my sin, and my sin takes me down to the place called hell. It links me to that awful place of torment. My sin's an awful burden. And I need to get right with God. I need my sin taken away. I need to have peace with God. I need to get right with God. I need the Savior. I need salvation. I need it tonight. And I can't go on like this in my sin. I can't go on any longer without the Savior. I need to find Him. I need to find Him tonight. And you know this? Maybe if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I want to give you a bit of hope. That you could have come into this meeting tonight not thinking about getting saved, not even thinking about your soul. And you could leave tonight rejoicing in God's salvation. You could leave tonight knowing all is well for eternity. You could leave tonight saying, in the words of those early disciples, we have found Him. We have found Him. I trust it would be the case that tonight you'd be awakened and just take that step of faith. Say, Jesus, I will trust Thee. I'll trust Thee with my soul. I am lost and I am helpless. Only Thou canst make me whole. There's none in heaven nor on earth like Thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. I trust you might find the Savior this evening before it would be forever and eternally too late. Found him. And then heard him. I would believe in your life you have heard the voice of the Savior. Maybe you go back to when you're a little child learning those verses in a Sunday school or on your mother's knee, and you learn verses. Those good old gospel verses like, ye must be born again. You've never been born again. You've never responded to His voice. As a little child, you've maybe known those delightful words, those 25 words, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You heard His voice. You didn't respond. You never believed. And maybe you heard Him saying, come unto me. Oh, the tender, pleading voice of the Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You never come to Him. You know, no one ever spake like the Lord Jesus. I hope I'm not using my imagination, but it must have been wonderful to be one of those disciples and to be hearing those words from day to day. Being His presence and just hearing His voice. It says the people wondered at the gracious words that proceeded from His mouth. Oh, the sweetness of His words. Oh, the richness, the preciousness, the blessedness, the freshness, the uniqueness, the greatness of His words. The hymn writer can say, no lips like Thine, most gracious Lord, none ever spake like Thee. He could say, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. His words touched the hardest of hearts. His words soothed and comforted troubled hearts and troubled minds. Words of power and feeling and meaning. Words that came from His tender heart. Words that never missed their mark. The people confessed, never man spake like this man. Pure words from a pure heart. True words from a true heart. Kind words from a kind heart, and tender words from a tender heart, and words of love from a heart of love. And yet the one who spake words of love is the one who could say, they have compassed me about with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries. They've rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. And that blessed one, with wondrous words and wondrous works, took that journey all the way to Calvary. And I trust that tonight you might really hear his voice. And if you never responded to his voice before and never get saved, tonight you'll respond. Him says, I never heard a sweeter voice. It made my aching heart rejoice. And I trust that you'll hear him. I trust that we might this evening come to that place called Calvary and think upon those scenes there. I trust we might listen carefully. I know there are many sounds at Calvary. There's a hymn, our brother quoted it in the morning meeting this morning. Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. There kneeling my Lord to the tree, the cross they upraise as the multitude gaze on the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. You know, at Calvary there were many voices. Maybe the cries of the thieves, the mocking voices of the soldiers and those Jewish leaders. Maybe the sound of those women weeping. Many sounds at Calvary. But I believe there came a time as that scene was clothed in a darkness like no other darkness. Like a double darkness, it says that the sun refused to shine. The darkness over all the land. And I believe a silence very likely fell on that scene as that darkness engulfed those events at Calvary. And the mocking voices would die away. And I trust that we might this evening listen carefully at Calvary this evening. Because out of that scene of darkness, and out of that scene of seeming defeat, and out of that scene of degradation, that scene of death, a cry rang out from the lips of the Savior. A cry went up at Calvary, and it reached heaven. And through the centuries, that cry of the Savior has reached hearts. And he cried, it is finished. It is finished. And at Calvary, all that had to be done to save your soul and to save my soul, it was all done perfectly by the perfect Christ of God in perfect love for vile sinners like you and like me. Oh, listen to it. It is finished. People think they'll get to heaven with their good deeds and how kind they are and charitable actions, and it's all been done at the cross. Him says, cast your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. Jesus did it all. He paid it all. He finished it all. He suffered it all. All had to be done to save rebel sinners has been done by Christ at the cross. Listen to it. Take it in. Listen to it with your very heart. It is finished. It is finished. Yes, indeed. Finished every jot. Oh, sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? May you rest there tonight. Maybe even trying to get saved. Just rest there at Calvary. Forget all the wrestling and the working on it. Just rest. Think of the words of that hymn we sang this evening. I seek no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. May you hear his voice. Hear it. It is finished, was his cry. Found him, heard him, and then saw him. It's blessed to see that blessed one in the manger in Bethlehem. He left the splendor and the bliss and came down to a cold, dark world like this. He left the wonders of his home above and came down to earth in wondrous love. He came down to Bethlehem's lowly manger. And he came to be the homeless stranger. And he came to hang upon Golgotha's tree to suffer and to die that we might be free. See him in the manger. See him growing up as that boy in Nazareth. The poem says, Nazareth, O Nazareth, why, O why so blessed? Nazareth, O Nazareth, home for heaven's best. See him moving amongst the people in his public ministry. See him, the sinless, spotless Christ, drawing near to the poor and the needy, the vile and the wretched. See him eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. See him weeping over the people. See him move with compassion. See him as the lonely one with not a place to lay his head. See him in Gethsemane, in agony, in sorrow as he thinks about Calvary. And see him going forth that day, crowned with a crown of thorns, his back lacerated, the spittle of man upon his blessed face. And he willingly went forth to Calvary. Going forth, what a sight to see. Going forth, my Lord, for me. Going forth, and all alone for our sins to atone. Going forth, my Lord, to die. Wondrous love, we know not why. Wondrous love, oh, can it be that he went forth for sinful me? Unsaved, when we trust that you might get a view of Calvary this evening, for there's life through a look at the crucified one. The hymn writer could say, as he thought about it, he was moved, and he says, when I saw thee on the cross, all wounded there for me, my very heart I thought would break, I felt I must love thee. Oh, that we might get views of Calvary this evening and see that blessed one. And see the burden of our sin by God upon him laid. What a burden. All the sin of all mankind throughout all the generations, all laid on that sinless one, and all the wrath and all the judgment of God and all the fiery indignation of a holy God, it all came down upon the sinless Christ there at Calvary. And I deserved hell and the lake of fire. I deserved to suffer, but he suffered for me. And he took my place, and I go free. There was a wee woman one time, and she was attending gospel meetings, and she got troubled about her soul, longing to be saved. And as she was leaving the meeting one evening, she shook the preacher's hand, and she said to him, I can't go home with this problem. I can't go on with this problem. And he says to her, what's the problem? And she says to him, it's my sin. It's my sin. It's great to get to that point. You realize it's my sin. They say that in the 1859 revival, there was a mighty movement of God in our land, that people were leaving their work, leaving the fields, leaving their tools. They're coming out and their cry was, my sin. My sin, my sin. It's good to get a good view of your sin. This woman says, it's my sin. And he says to her, well, he says, the way I see it is this, that my sin, he says, was on me. But at Calvary, God took my sin and he laid my sin on the Lord Jesus. And I go free. And he says to the woman, now where is your sin? Where is your sin? She says, oh, she says, my sin, she says, it's on me, she says. Then she paused. And then she smiled and she says to him, you know what, I see it now. She says, I see it now. He says, what do you see? She says, I see it now, that Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. The chorus says, the little birds above my head, from sin and sorrow free, they could not sing a sweeter song than Jesus died for me. The wee woman went away and came back to the preacher a few days later with a wee verse she had found. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Our sin is a dreadful problem. You think you have problems. The people have problems, all kinds of. Sin is the biggest problem. It's like a chain and it takes us down and it pulls us down and it links us to eternal fire, eternal judgment, eternal wrath. But at Calvary, sin has been dealt with by Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. The Bible says he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The Bible says his soul was made an offering for sin. The Bible tells us clearly that Christ died for our sins. Listen to this verse. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You can have complete cleansing, full forgiveness, and a perfect pardon. Pardon from sin of deepest dye, pardon bestowed through Jesus' blood, pardon that brings the rebel nigh. You can rest in pardon and relief from the load of sin and grief. Rest in his atoning blood and rest in perfect peace with God. I trust that tonight, if you're here, you come in not saved, that this will be the night when you find him. And you say with those early disciples, we have found him. To find him is to find everything. Henry could say, he is my everything. He is my all. Oh, that you might hear him. I think in John 11 or 12, we read about those Samaritans. They said, we have heard him. They said, we have heard him ourselves and know indeed that this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. May you find him. May you hear him. May you see him. May you know him as your own and personal Savior. This world is full of nonsense and trivia, and we get occupied with so many things that aren't worth half the worry and half the concern that we give them. May you get an occupation with God's Son and trust him and be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May you do so for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we draw near in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name that speaks a life of love and sorrows meekly borne. Remember that there came that day when men took thy Son and nailed him to the cross, and there he suffered the wrath and the judgment of God. Our sins and guilt were upon him laid. He the wrath of God endured, and he has opened up the way to heaven. He has provided a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. He has met our every need there at the cross. And we just worship thee for thy Son, and we would exclaim, he hath done all things well. We trust that he has been glorified and honored this day and this evening in the meeting. And if any come in not yet saved, we pray that they wouldn't go on without Christ as their Savior. We pray that a sense of urgency would grip their hearts in the light of a darkening world and a very near eternity. May a sense of urgency grip hearts, and may sinners flee to the arms of the Savior for salvation and for shelter and for peace. We thank thee that there's peace and there's life through a look at the crucified one. And we thank thee for Calvary. Calvary's cross, the only refuge. Calvary's cross, the only plea. Calvary's cross, O blessed shelter, on it God's salvation see. We worship thee, O God and Father, as we ask these things of thee and seek thy face and give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.